starting again, just kind of in a just a real quick review here. We've been sharing on his resurrection life and being a brand new person in Christ, and we started sharing this around Easter for Resurrection Sunday. And this resurrection life that has come into us, has this eternal life, has caused us to be what? A brand new person. We've got a new nature. And when we talk about identity and identification, which we spent a few lessons on, that, you start to ask the question, what do you identify with? Who do you identify with? And if you spend a lot of your time, you know, I would just say this, we are bombarded constantly with information and messaging from this world. And if you listen to that all the time, you can begin to identify with it and begin to forget who you really are. See, there's some scripture, I didn't give this to them, but in James chapter 1 and verse 21, it talks, see, when you got saved, when you got born again, your spirit was instantly changed, but your soul, your mind was not. Romans 12, 2 says, to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed, changed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. But in James chapter 1 and verse 21, it talks about receiving or embracing the engrafted word of God that it may do what? It says, receive it with meekness so that it does what? It will save your what? Your soul. So your soul has to be saved. You know, you can be saved in your spirit, but you can be not saved in your soul. And it will not hinder you from going to heaven because your spirit is saved. But your soul can be as goofy and whacked up as you can be. And I'm saying all of that because if you keep listening to the world, your soul may not be saved. It needs to be renewed. And the more we allow God's word in and we act upon it, see, faith is an act. So when we take the word of God and we act upon it, the word of God, the power in the word of God is released. And what does it do? It changes your soul. It saves your soul. Your soul begins to think like him. See, so I wanted to spend again some time today in looking at Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation, and they'll put this up on the screen. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 10 or 11 in the New Living. And it says, you must have, see, and in, you know, the King James, it says, let this mind be in you. So you have to do something. You have to let it. So this says here, you must have the same attitude, the same opinion, the same mind. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Boy, you could stop right there, and that would be a mouthful right there. Just to stop and meditate on that. Do we all have the same attitude that he had? That's where your mind needs to be saved. That's where the saving of the mind comes. Because your heart may want to, but your mind says, I ain't doing that. I'm not going to love that person. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be such and such. I'm going to act, whatever. So again, in verse 6, it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, verse 7, instead, he did what? He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And it continues, when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. So he did what? In other words, he was God, or he is God. He came in flesh to redeem mankind. He did not give up his deity, but he gave up his privileges to operate as God. He gave it up. In other words, he left unequaled glory. He left glory. Because you can see in John, he said, Father, now glorify me and give me the glory that I had. So he gave it up. He gave up the glory that he had. He still was deity. He still was sinless. But he gave up those privileges and he, as they say, he submitted himself to the Father. And he only did those things that he saw him or heard him do or told him to do. You know, that's no different today. That's why when it says, you are to have the same attitude, the same mind that he had, the same, and one scripture says the same mindset. That means the same way he submitted himself to God the Father, we are to do the same thing. We are to submit ourselves to God so that we can hear from him and then do what? Fulfill his plan and purpose here in the earth. That's what Jesus did. He came here, and then he did what? He was obedient to redeem mankind. He became sin, and he did what? He went to the cross. So whatever God has assigned all of us to do, we are to be obedient to that. Hear from heaven. Hear from the throne of God. We have now the Holy Spirit living within us. We are now connected. We're in this realm, this earth realm, but we are also connected because of our spirit. We're connected to heaven. We can hear him. And he's now there giving, he should be giving us instructions, what to do, where to go. We all have different paths in life, but he's given each of us instructions. And we're to do what? To reach people, share the good news of the gospel. Hallelujah. So we need to have the same attitude as Christ. You know, it was funny. I was sharing this last week. We were up the week before. We went up on Thursday, I think it was, last Thursday and Friday, and we went up Thursday. And we normally stop and get a snack or something, you know, at the local store. It's Wawa. You know, it's like Wawa. Anyways, but that's what they call it. It's Wawa. And so we stopped to get some snacks, and I had snacks, so I didn't go in. So the other folks went in. And I'm sitting in the car, and there's a group of young kids out in the front, and they were going at it. Fists were flying. This is 10 o'clock in the morning. And the cursing and shoving, guys shoving girls, punching girls, fighting, just carrying on. And it was so intense and so loud, I thought something was going to go down. I really did. I thought there was going to be a knife or a gun pulled. It just got that rowdy. And I'm thinking their attitude was on display. They were thinking like the world, talking like the world. And I said, if you embrace that, that's what you're going to end up being like. So you've got to think like him, not like the world. And it's very easy, because if you're around that all the time and you're around people with certain, you know, attitudes and speech and so forth, it may not be as extreme as that, but if you're around people that are negative all the time, talking doubt and unbelief and worry, you can pick that right up. You can begin to view life like they do. So I just share that, you know, we must let his mind and attitude be in us. So what we've been sharing in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you'll just read this from the New Living Translation. And it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has become. The Living Bible says it a little different. It says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. So we have a new life. We have a new nature. You know, you've heard me share. It's real to me, but I had a bad mouth before I accepted Christ, and it became, I mean, I never heard, growing up, I never heard a curse word in my family. My parents didn't curse. If I ever did, I'd have been rearranged. So I never heard it. Now, that may not be your testimony, but when I got out of the house, if you are around people that do, you pick it up, and that's what happened. And I just cursed like a sailor, everything. But the day I got saved, the day that he came to live in me, that old nature left. And that day, it changed. There was a different change. There was a different course. I stopped cursing. I didn't try to. He came in. And he pushed the death out. It says, we have been delivered from darkness and translated. We have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So when it says, you've got a brand new life in you, I sure, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And you all, I know all of you can get up and have a testimony, how you acted, did, whatever. Because the scripture said in Ephesians, we were children of disobedience. We acted like the world. Pastor Clinton used to say it, a dog barks. So don't think a dog's going to do anything different. Sinners sin. That's what we did. And some more extreme than others. So thank God for his blood. Thank God. That's what it says in Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the what? The blood of bulls and goats, or goats and calves. It says, but by his own blood he entered in what? Once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We have it. We have now eternal redemption. So I was thinking on something, and you know, when you think about Jesus, we should be able to hear from heaven, but God doesn't want us to just speak anything down here. He doesn't want us to just make up words. Jesus didn't do it. And we are to have his mind, his attitude. So the same way Jesus was, where he heard from heaven, he heard from the throne of God, he heard from the Father, and then he executed that. He spoke that into the earth. So when you look at that, you begin to say, okay, if that's the way I'm supposed to be, I should be hearing from heaven and releasing his plan or his purposes here in the earth. So he wants our words to be his words, his thoughts, right? And John 15:5, very familiar scripture. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So we can't really accomplish anything without him. See, and neither did Jesus. So we're to have that same attitude, that same mindset. Hallelujah. So when we talk about this here, we're talking about words. This earth was created by words. Words spoke into existence this earth and this world and this universe. We know from Genesis, God said, let there be light. Let there be this. Let there be this. He spoke it into existence, right? And so words play an important part in doing something in this earth. Words have to be spoken. And so we are operating in two different realms, you could say. We're in this earth realm. We're in this earth. We have a body that adapts. It was created to adapt to this earth. But this physical body has sin in it, and until God changes it, see, we're gonna when he changes this corruptible to incorruptible, we're gonna be translated into heaven, and we'll bring this body with us, right? But it'll be a new body. But right now, this body is in this earth realm. We're in this realm, but we're also, because of our heart, our spirit, we're connected, and we are connected to another realm. We're connected to heaven by his spirit. So we're really operating in two realms. We are connected to a spiritual realm. I'm trying to get spooky, but it's not spooky. We're connected to heaven. We're connected, say it another way, we're connected to eternity because of our heart, our spirit. So just think about this. I'm just adding to what we've already been sharing. Well, I'm a new person in Christ. His word is eternal. His words are eternal. So all the promises of God are yea and amen. They're eternal, so they are in that other realm, heaven, eternity. There is no time. There's no time in that realm. And I'm connected to it. So God sees me as healed. He sees me as saved. He sees me as washed in the blood. That's eternal. Now, how do I take from eternity? How do I take and pull from a place, a realm where there's no time, and bring that into time? How do I bring that into this earth realm, into time? We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk and we release words. That's what Jesus did. Think about it. God spoke in Genesis. Just take a moment. Let's go over and look at this. I believe it's in Genesis. Let me take a look here. I believe it's Genesis 2. Or is it? No, it's 3. 3 and excuse me here. I had that. I believe it's in Genesis 15, 3. chapter Genesis 3 and verse 15. He said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head." And I think that word bruise means to take the authority away from you, "and shall bruise his heel." So here God is speaking, and we know through the Old Testament, those who were anointed, those prophets that were anointed of God, heard from heaven and released words into this earth. So in the fullness of what? Time. Galatians 4. In the fullness of time, God sent his son to be born of a woman in time. But he was in eternity, and he was the lamb slain before time. But how did that come and be manifested in the fullness of time? How did that happen? Words were spoken. Words were spoken. God spoke in Genesis, and then the prophets spoke. They heard from heaven, and they spoke words. And God acted on those words, and in the fullness of time, it was manifested. He was manifested. So let me ask a question. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Same thing. He's given us a framework. He said, you are to do, walk by faith and not by sight. So hundreds of years passed before the fullness of time came. So why are we getting itchy when we don't see something in a day or a week or a month? When you release words, it's working. Faith-filled words work. God responds to faith-filled words. What does it say in Isaiah? As the rains cometh down and returneth not thither, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall accomplish that which I please. His word is eternal. And when I take my words, I'm reaching out in faith into that eternal realm, and I'm taking hold of it by faith. God is honoring it and causing it to manifest in this earth realm. What does it say in Mark 11? Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So words are important. I'm just going to read this. Psalm 33, when we talk about this earth realm, Psalm 33, verse 6. Psalm 33, verse 6. They'll put this up in the King James. It says, by the word of the Lord, what? Were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Hebrews 11:3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the word of God. So what we see, and what does it say? So that things which are seen were not made of things which do what? Appear. John 1:10. You know, sometimes we read over this, but the world was created by words, was created by the word. John 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. So this world responds to words. And we cannot get away from that. So if we want to take hold of eternal promises that are settled in heaven, then we are going to have to reach out in faith and take hold of them, and that will cause them to come into this realm where we can benefit from them. And we can walk in them. You know, if you're just waiting on God, and I just hoping and praying God will do something, ain't gonna happen. He has given us authority. He's given us dominion. We are his body here in the earth. And he wants to fulfill his plan and purpose here in the earth. And the only way that's going to come about is that we have to hear from heaven and speak those words in faith. Now, hearing from heaven can be as simple as I read this in the Bible and God reveals it to me, and faith comes and I speak it. And then there are times God will stir your heart and show you something. But you don't want to just sit here. You say, well, I wish God would speak to me. He is. Right here. So I hope this is helping you a little bit, because sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we are operating in this earth realm, but we're also connected to heaven. Amen. So we live in this realm where there's time. Let's go over, since I referenced that, let's go over to Galatians chapter 4 and just look at this. Galatians chapter 4, Christ always was. He was in the beginning. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, Galatians chapter 4, I'm going to just read these first four verses in the King James. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. That's true. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. Now, in the New Living Translation, verse 4, I like the way this says this. It says, but when the right time came, see, well, now is the right time for healing. You don't have to wait for the right time. Now is the right time. You don't need to wait for salvation. Salvation came. But time does sometimes pass. Everything is not instant. So time, whether it's 5 minutes or a week, time does happen. From the time you pray until you actually see it, time is involved. So, but when the right time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. So when we talk about letting this mind be in you, we are to be submitted. You know, another word they use today, we don't hear enough of it, is being consecrated. What does that mean? Consecrating my will, my desires, and submitting myself to him, not my own ambitions. You know, God, sometimes I think people think that God doesn't have a plan for you and I got to make up. This is what the world teaches all the time. Make your own deal, make your own way. You know, you're your own person, your own man or woman, right? Well, that's partly true, But as a Christian, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. He wants to bless us. He's already got, he said in Ephesians, he said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and he desires that these things be fulfilled in us. So God has a plan for each one of us. He wants to show off in this earth using us. So don't think like, if I don't take a path, I'm losing out. That's foolish thinking. That's foolish thinking. You need to pray. And you know, I was sharing this recently with a young lady up in Pennsylvania. And her grandparents would bring her now and then. And, you know, there's just some family dynamics that are tough. And this is a young girl. She's a teen. And I said, hey, how's everything going? I hate school. Okay. What is it that you hate about school? Well, I don't like math. I don't like this. I don't blah, 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 right? So then she started to say, well, I don't know what, see, because it's leading somewhere. I don't know what I want to do with my life. I think I want to go this direction, but I'm not sure. And then I think about this, and I'm not sure. So when you have an unsettled family life, and then you mix in all of the goofiness that goes on in the high school, because I found out about the high school she goes to, is not good. So you add all of that dynamic in, you add in the family and not stability, and you add all of this stuff up, there's confusion. I don't know what I want to do with my life. And that can be difficult for a teen. So I just shared a simple scripture. I said, you know, I didn't know a lot of these things when I was growing up, but I said, one thing that I am sure of, God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. And I said, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I said, what you need to do? I said, you may not feel God, but I said, just pray to him. Talk to him like you're talking to me. I don't like this. I need direction. And just pray and ask him to help you direct your steps in life and show you his plan for your life. Pray, and then stop thinking about it. Stop worrying about it, because God will direct your steps. You need to just trust him. And that's all I did, was just share light with her. And she got quiet, and then she looked up at me and she said, thank you. And I'll tell you, it really pulled on my heart, because I said, here are young kids dealing with all of this goofiness, and all they need is an encouraging word to just talk to them like a parent and comfort them and say, look, I know it may seem hard, but God loves you. And he really does care for you. Because she's not going to get that from the school, the people she's around, and this world. They got different message. And it ain't love. And as much as her grandparents, I mean, they're saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, but it's not her parents. Because she also said to me, please pray for my mom. She is out there. So you got all of this going on. And there's just this inner turmoil going on. And I said, we need to be a light. There are people just that are dealing with issues. May not be a child. It may be another person you're dealing with in work. Just have a listening ear. Don't try to beat people with the Bible. Just share an encouraging word. Hear from heaven. See, you can bring hope which is eternal. You can bring that from that eternal realm, his eternal word. Wait and listen for what heaven has to say about this person's situation. And then speak those words. Because they're eternal. They will do what? They will comfort. They will comfort. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, there's some other things I want to share, but let's, I think you get the impact of what I'm sharing here, that the things that God wants to do here in this earth, you know, we talk about his glory and his fire and all, oh, I want to walk in the glory. His word is full of glory and power. And if you take the word, not just take any word from here, but hear from heaven, and let that word come into you and then release it, God will work with that. He will work with that. Amen. Glory to God. I hope that helps a little bit. Because it's, you know, we cannot get away from operating in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, expected, the evidence of something not seen. So what I don't see is those eternal promises that are in another realm. They're already settled in heaven. His word, what does it say? His word is forever settled in heaven. That those promises are eternal. So for me to draw upon them, I've got to reach and take hold of them by faith. And then release those faith-filled words here in this earth realm. And God will cause those to manifest into time, into this realm where we benefit. Amen. Glory to God. That's the word of God. Not a hoping and a praying. I hope God does something. You're going to be waiting for a long time. See? And I just say, sometimes the things that God has done in our life without us asking is because somebody was praying. Somebody was interceding with words that God responded to benefit us, you see. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is precious to us. And we thank you that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we thank you this day for the power of your word, the comfort of your word, the revelation of your word that has been given to us. And we thank you that we purpose to walk in them and to be a light here in this earth and to help people. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. If there's anybody here or maybe somebody online is watching and you never made a personal commitment or a personal affirmation or a profession of faith in Christ, then this is our opportunity or your opportunity to do that. To, as it said, we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So with our heart, we believe, but then we must speak what we believe. And so that's the path, that's the method, or I guess you could say, that God has put in place. And that's not going to change. His word is forever settled in heaven. So you're not going to get to heaven, although good works are good. That's not going to redeem your spirit. The blood of Jesus did that. And his blood redeems us, not works. And so sometimes people say, well, I'm a good person. Well, that's good. But you still, every knee will bow. I didn't read that verse, but it's in Philippians 2, 10 and 11. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So every person will at some point confess him. So if you're here today or watching online and you haven't ever done that, let's say this simple prayer. If that's your heart and you desire to do that, let's say this. Father God, I believe that in the fullness of time, you sent your Son to this earth to be born of a woman. And we thank you that Jesus came to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And so I believe that Jesus is the Savior of mankind. I believe he paid for sin. He became sin. And he redeemed all of mankind. And it is our responsibility to believe that and to ask him and confess with our mouth that he was raised from the dead. Now I believe and I say that he is Lord, he is my Savior, and he was raised from the dead when sin was paid for. Now I thank you that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me, and I thank you now that I am saved. Now if you said that simple profession of faith, you meant that, then that just means that you became saved. You became a brand new person in Christ. Your heart has changed. Your spirit has been changed instantly the moment you released your faith. But now we need to have our minds renewed. And if you did that, just contact us either by email. They put that information on the screen. And if anybody is here, just let us know and we'll give you some free information as to who you have become in Christ, in him. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord.